With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick or... you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's bring in Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback, joining us on the program. And I just saw where Albert Breer is reporting that the Bears will entertain trade offers for quarterback Nick Foles. Albert joins us now. What do you think about that? Where do you think Nick Foles could end up?
Well, I think it's just sort of hard because of the money, but he's been a really good soldier for them. And so I think they're going to kind of follow his lead here. I do think at one point the Jets had some interest in bringing him in. And obviously Joe Douglas, the general manager in New York, was in Philadelphia with Foles, understands what Foles could mean for a young quarterback. So I think there was some level of interest there. I don't know how much interest Foles would have in going to New York right now. And I don't think the Bears are going to put Foles in a situation he doesn't want to be in. You know, I think out of loyalty, and because, again, Foles has been a good soldier in dealing with the drafting of Justin Fields and dealing with the signing of Andy Dalton and not getting very many reps in the spring and in camp, I think they're going to either maybe not follow his lead, but at least seek sign off on whatever happens. So it's going to take somebody wanting to pick up the contract, number one. And then number two, I don't think the Bears are going to do it unless it's something that Foles wants to do.
What about Dallas for Nick Foles?
It makes some sense. I mean, Garrett Gilbert, I think, would be the number two there right now. And yeah, I mean, there's nobody that knows better than the Cowboys what can happen to your season if you lose your quarterback. And you look at, obviously, 2015 when Tony Romo got hurt and they had a really, really loaded roster. The whole thing fell apart. And then, of course, what happened last year. I think the Cowboys would be one team that you would look at and say could have an interest. If the money works out, could have an interest. And of course, you know, Nick Foles being from Texas, there is a connection there.
I know that Jerry Jones came out recently. He was, you know, very effusive talking about Tony Romo, you know, his mind, first ballot Hall of Famer. And I know a lot of people laughed at that and said, no, his numbers don't compare. Is Tony Romo, should he be under consideration for the Hall of Fame? Maybe not a Hall of Famer, but under consideration.
You remember like a few years ago when we had to raise the bar for receivers because the numbers had gotten so out of whack, right? Yeah. Like, and so you had like numbers that were benchmarks for Hall of Famers, and now guys who hit those benchmarks aren't getting in because the statistics have changed. I sort of think something similar is happening with quarterbacks now where, I mean, how do you separate Drew Brees from Philip Rivers, from Tony Romo, from Eli Manning? I mean, people say Eli Manning's a shoe-in. Is he though? Like, and where do we draw the line? I think, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, Hall of Fame voters are going to have some tough decisions to make on some guys who, had they been up for, you know, induction 10, 15, 20 years ago, might have gotten in. And I think part of it is that we're in a golden age for the position. You know, you see a lot fewer teams, Dan, just rolling out there into an NFL season without an answer at quarterback. And we used to see that all the time. Like, you know, you feel like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you'd see teams that would go into a season and the position would be a dumpster fire. And you knew they were taking one of the top five the next year. And you just don't see that anymore. And I just think that's been the natural evolution of the position. That also means at the high end, we've got a lot of really good quarterbacks. I mean, the Rams moved off a quarterback they went to the Super Bowl with. The Niners are in the process of moving off a quarterback they went to the Super Bowl with. So I just think the bar is raising at the position in general. And I think that's going to, you know, have an effect on the way the Hall of Fame thing goes down too. And so, you know, it's not just Romo in a vacuum. It's also Romo versus Rivers, Romo versus Roethlisberger, Romo versus Eli.
Also the running back position. I don't know what is going to be considered a Hall of Fame caliber. Used to be you got to 10,000 yards and you punched your ticket to the Hall of Fame. That was a long time ago. I don't know what 10,000 yards means now for is Derrick Henry going to be a Hall of Famer if he gets to 10,000 yards?
Yeah, and the shelf life. I mean, do we have guys who are going to make it as far as Emmitt Smith made it? Now, Adrian Peterson, I think, is an obvious one. Like, you know, I think he goes in, and I think that's a pretty easy call. Marshawn Lynch, is he in? Like, if you look at his career numbers in the aggregate, maybe not, but his impact on the game was huge, right? Like, he was the centerpiece for a Super Bowl champion on offense. So
Frank Gore?
I think, huh?
Frank Gore?
Frank Gore is a great one. I think his critics would say he's a compiler, but you look at his story and coming into the league with two surgically repaired knees and making it as long as he did, you know, and having the impact on so many people around him, being the centerpiece again of a team that made it to the Super Bowl in San Francisco. I think it's interesting. And I also think the way we look at the position is going to probably start to evolve and change too. I mean, you bring up Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry is sort of what the position used to be. You know, look at Zeke Elliott, look at Saquon Barkley, look at Alvin Kamara. All those guys can bring value in the passing game. And so I think that position is changing and evolving too. Here's the other thing, Dan. I mean, I feel like when you and I grew up, the best athlete on the team more often than not was the tailback. I don't think that's the case anymore. You know, I think more often than not, that sort of athlete's probably going and playing receiver now. Like, would Odell Beckham have been a running back, you know, if he had come along 25 years earlier? Maybe he would have been Marshall Faulk, you know? So I think that that's part of the evolution as well.
He's Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist for the Monday Morning Quarterback. Why all of a sudden Deshaun Watson could get traded, might get traded? Here's what they would trade for him. Now it's on the front burner. What's happening?
Because the cut down to 53 is on Tuesday. And so the question now becomes, are the Texans willing to, A, pay him $10.45 million for the year, because that's what it would cost to carry him on the roster for the year, and B, are they willing to go with, in essence, 52 players if they're not going to play him? Because if you're not going to play him, that means somebody else is losing their job over this. And I just would tell you, and like, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's going to happen over the next 48 hours. I do, you know, I do agree that this creates a pressure point for the Texans to some degree. I just, you know, my sense throughout has been that Nick Caserio is not taking 50 cents on the dollar for Deshaun Watson. And I agree with him on this. 25-year-old franchise quarterback who's got 5 years left on his contract. There is no more priceless commodity in football than that. And because you can't get full value for him right now, what's the harm in waiting? If you have him under contract for the next 5 years, what's the harm in waiting if you feel like maybe 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you might be able to get 3 or 4 first round picks? Is it better to wait and ride it out because you've already ridden it out with a new head coach for 6 weeks in training camp? Or are you better off taking a lot less now and continuing your rebuild without Watson and without the haul you might've been able to get? Unless somebody's going to come in and offer something, the sort of thing that the Texans would have been able to get in January and February and March before the 22 lawsuits were filed. I just think Nick Caserio is the new general manager of the Texans has resolved not to move it. Maybe you've got something for me, but unless somebody's going to give him the value that you would normally get for a quarterback of Deshaun Watson's stature, absent everything else that's going on, which is way more serious than football, what would create the rush to get something done right now?
Yeah, and from what I'm told, though, one team wants contingency plans for those draft picks, and it's like, hey, you know what? we'll give the first round picks, but if he doesn't play or he gets indicted or whatever it might be, right, then those number ones become maybe number twos, that, you know, some kind of language in there.
So consider this though, Dan, like, so let's say there's the language in there, and I don't think the Texans are leery about putting conditions on this. So one of the conditions is he has to play 8 games this year. Okay. So let's say there's an 8-game suspension, and which I think is reasonable. If you look at what Roethlisberger got in 2010, it was 6 games that got knocked down to 4. So let's say he gets an 8-game suspension, and then, you know, he gets hurt. So now he doesn't hit that 8 games, right? Like, and that takes away a first-round pick. Would you want to put yourself in that situation when maybe it doesn't even relate directly to innocence or guilt here? It's just sort of the way the league sees the situation. Or would you rather wait for clarity so you could get 3 first-round picks, you know, like without any conditions on them? You know, the Texans, I mean, if you gave Nick Caserio and David Culley truth serum, they know they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. So is it really that important that they have the picks right now rather than in March? And by the way, they can't execute any of those picks until April anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're the Texans here, like, absent everything else, like, I just think you have to look at this and say to yourself, like, if we're going to walk away from Deshaun Watson, which again, like, they didn't want to do in January and February and March before the temperature turned up on everything. If like you're going to walk away from that, you have to get full value. And if you don't get full value as a first year GM and a first year coach for the rest of the time in Houston, you're going to be chasing that back, right? That's going to be the hill you're going to have to get over. And so I think, you know, the Texans, you can blame them for a lot of stuff that they've done the last year. That place has been a mess. But I think the Texans are taking the right approach here in waiting to find a way to get full value. And maybe somebody moves over the next couple of days and gives it to them. But I don't think Nick Caserio is going to be pressured into doing something short-sighted based on, you know, a deadline coming up in the next, I guess, 36 hours now.
I mentioned that I thought Cam Newton was going to be the starter. I still stand by that, even though Mac Jones has played well, played probably a lot better than people thought at this, you know, lack of experience. Cam was only playing 2 series in this last game, and usually that's what happens when you're the starter. Although Belichick left it open, though, when he didn't want to name a starter. Is that some kind of... hey, I got some coy moves here. I don't want to, you know, tell somebody who our starter is.
There's part of me that says, like, because I've seen these situations before, and there's part of me that wonders, like, is he really thinking about it? Because Mac has played really well. That said, you have to think about, like, I think in these situations, you always have to think about the other 10 guys in the huddle, right? And take what happened in San Francisco. And, you know, I talked to Kyle Shanahan about this about 3 weeks ago, and he brought up to me the idea of doing a quarterback shuttle, right? Like, moving guys in and out. And I know, like, people went crazy over what happened yesterday. But the truth is, I mean, if you're Kyle Shanahan and you're really thinking about doing that, well, you got to get not just those guys ready for it. You got to get the other 10 guys in the huddle ready for that too, and ready to go back and forth, right? And so I think the same sort of principle applies when you're really trying to analyze what's happening with Cam and Mac. If you were really thinking about starting Mac Jones, like, wouldn't it behoove you to at least have gotten him a few series with the starters in the preseason just to see what it looks like, just so the offensive lineman can hear his voice, just so the receivers can kind of hear how he adjusts things and the things that he's capable of doing on the fly? I mean, in my mind, and Belichick's a very, very logical person, logically, wouldn't it create more value for you to get Mac Jones that experience and get the other 10 guys that experience with Mac Jones than it would to create some sort of mystery over who you're starting? I would think so, right?
Who's starting?
I think it's Cam, and I think Mac's going to start games this year. And I think Mac is going to, I think it could happen quick too. Like, and I, you know, I'm not saying it's like, you know, as quick as it happened last year with, say, Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor. And obviously that's a different situation, but, you know, like, we've seen this before, and they're like, since 2008, which is really the paradigm shift here. Since 2008, when Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco were rookies, there've only been 3 true red shirts among all the quarterbacks that have gone in the first round. And those three were Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, and Jake Locker. All three of those teams, all three of those quarterbacks played for contenders. That's what's so interesting about the three quarterback situations in Chicago, San Francisco, and New England. Generally, first-round quarterbacks go to bad teams. These guys aren't going to bad teams. These guys are going to teams that have contended recently. So I would say Mac's going to be ready to play either, you know, end of September, beginning of October, somewhere in there. I think they'd feel comfortable putting him in there. I think the question is going to be how good are they and do they have the window to put him in? Because if Cam's playing relatively well and they're 3-0, 4-1, 6-2, do you have the opening to do that? I think it becomes a little bit more complicated. And, you know, to me, like, that's what's so fascinating about the situation the Patriots are facing. And I think it's sort of similar to what you're going to see in San Francisco and Chicago, too, if those teams are able to get off to the sorts of starts they think they're capable of.
Also, Philadelphia trades for Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, yeah, in his mind, was competing with Trevor Lawrence, even though he wasn't going to win that job. He's not going to Philadelphia to be Jalen Hurts' backup. How does this... What's the message being sent here?
I think it's the Eagles. I mean, I think, first of all, it's like the Eagles are always carried three quarterbacks. I also think this is just sort of Howie Roseman's thing. You know, and it goes back to Andy Reid. It's there. We need to give ourselves as many like throws at that dartboard as we possibly can to try and get the quarterback position right. And so I think they bring in Gardner Minshew and they see baseline. For the next 2 years, we have a very affordable backup. And some teams are paying $5-7 million a year for a backup. We've got Gardner Minshew for under $1 million this year, under $1 million next year. So that's the baseline. And if it becomes more, great. And if Jalen Hurts struggles and Gardner Minshew proves to be a great fit for Nick Sirianni, awesome. And for all of that, we're only out a sixth round pick and it's a fifth round pick if he plays. So I just think more than anything else, Dan, it's like looking at it as sort of a risk reward thing. There's almost no risk. And baseline reward is you get a good backup at a really cheap rate, a guy who has started, I believe, 20 games as a pro already. And maybe it grows into being something more. I'll also tell you this. I mean, having talked to Urban Meyer about it over the last couple of weeks, he loved Gardner Minshew as a player. Obviously Gardner wanted a fresh start somewhere else, but you know, part of the reason why the quarterback quote unquote competition, because I don't think it was really a competition either. Part of the reason why the Urban had to drag it out for as long as he had to drag it out is the guys in the locker room really respected Gardner and saw like the Gardner was actually pushing Trevor in a lot of different ways.
Always great to catch up with you. I don't know what you're going to do for the next week with, you know, all you got cut down like a week and a half that,
I'll find a way to keep myself busy over the next few days.
Albert, thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments, where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Let's bring in David Carr, NFL Network analyst, former NFL quarterback. Is he joining us, Fritzy?
David's all set.
David is there. David, thanks for joining us. Let me start with this whole philosophy of rookie quarterbacks. And let's put in somebody who has athleticism if we don't have a good offensive line. I'm looking at the numbers that you suffered through when you first came into the league. You had athleticism, probably didn't have a good offensive line. What does that do for your confidence level?
I'm torn, man, because I see, like, for instance, Justin Fields in Chicago, right? We talked about, and I kind of heard your intro with Josh Allen and getting the MVP chance, and Andy Dalton on the other end getting booed off the field before he even throws his first pass. So it's like you're either the MVP or the worst in the league. And I'm like, do we want to put Justin Fields behind the Chicago Bears offensive line that I've watched for the last 3 weeks? Absolutely not. And just because I've been in that situation before, yeah, Justin, okay, you have to ask yourself a question if you're a Bears fan. Justin Fields, in this day and age, has the opportunity to play quarterback for you guys for the next 15 years, right? So do you want to risk that by throwing him into a situation where, yes, athletically he can survive the situation, but he's already shown the ability and, honestly, his default is going to be to move. It's always going to be to move and make a play with his legs because he's always been able to do that. So he's going to revert back to that when situations suck. And with the Chicago Bears, the way that they're set up right now, he's not going to develop into the passer that he maybe could be if he's out there developing really bad habits. And I know because I've done it. And I was in that situation where, you know, you're in the quarterback room and the quarterback coach is saying, hey, you just gotta buy some time right here. Just trust the receivers. Let their routes develop. I break the meeting. I walk down the hallway. The offensive line coach grabs me, puts his arm around me, says, Dave, we got to find a way to get the ball out of our hand faster. And I'm like, okay, I'm 21 years old. Who do I listen to? You know? So that's the situation Justin's going to be in is the offensive line coach is going to say, hey, let's get the ball out of our hands. Let's find a way to run, get out of there. And Matt Nagy and those guys are going to be trying to get him to develop into the passer that they want him to be. Now, you can kind of do both. Russell Wilson and Justin have very similar traits. When I watched Russell play early on, they couldn't keep him off the field. Remember Matt? I think Matt Flynn was there. Russell went in. He made plays dynamically with his legs. And he was able to kind of develop into that passer as he was working through running with the ball and being smart and sliding and taking care of his body. Now he's a rare breed. That guy's a tremendous talent, you know, and Justin is also, but Russell was able to work through that and become the passer that he is now, still with the threat to run. So it's just, man, the odds aren't in your favor if you just throw a guy out there and try to have him just survive because you're not very good. I'm not for it. I'd love to see Justin play for a long time and have great success, you know, playing quarterback and then using his legs when he has to, not because he's just absolutely in an emergency situation every time.
Yeah, and you're going to revert back to what you do well, and that is that you want to be athletic and make a play, extend a play, whereas Mac Jones is behind an offensive line that's really good and will be protected better. Trey Lance will be behind a better offensive line. He'll be better protected. Yeah. I think that's the difference here is Justin Fields, if he was with the Patriots or with the Niners, then you could say, hey, you don't have to try to make a play. We'll pick our spots. We'll have design running plays. But trying to handicap this it's different quarterbacks, different situations. It's not this blanket. Yeah. You got to throw the rookie out there and let him play. Like Zach Wilson, I don't know what – I mean, I would be nervous if I'm a Jets fan that Zach Wilson – is going out there. We don't have a legitimate backup. Our offensive line has not been good, and I'm sending a kid out there into battle.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think every situation is different. And like for Zach Wilson, you know, what I've seen in the preseason has been fantastic. The guy's been great on the money downs. Like, I don't care really what you do on first and second down. That's easy. You know, that's what you should be able to do. And that's a lot of it's on your offensive coordinator. And they've done a good job in New York, just what I've seen so far in the first couple weeks. But what he's been great on is in third down, standing in the pocket, making throws to Corey Davis, utilizing his arm strength to just kind of whip the ball to the sideline just effortlessly off of plays that are kind of broken. So I see all the ability there for Zach Wilson, no question about it. I think to your point, the only thing that I could say is that offensive scheme is going to be such where they're going to utilize, you know, it's just like Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. These guys are going to move the pocket a lot. So it's not necessarily a situation that I see in Chicago where Chicago doesn't really, they're not really that good at it. Like Matt Nagy should be, you know, being in the Chiefs system and having that ability, but his offense has always left me like, man, where's this dynamic ability at to create offense for your quarterback? And I haven't seen that. I think I have seen that so far with what they're going to do with the Jets. So I feel a little bit better about that situation. Not great, but I feel a little bit better about it because when they do ask him to take shots down the field or hold the ball, it's going to be where he's on the move and he can kind of protect himself. And to your point, they don't have anybody else. Like they don't. I just don't see like. I mean, bring a veteran in. Like have him be able to watch a kid. You know, watch a guy go through it for the first couple weeks. You know, that would be a lot better situation, in my opinion. But schematically, I feel better about the Jets situation than I do about Chicago.
He's David Carr. You can follow NFL Network analyst David Carr on Twitter at DCarr8. What's the meanest thing you've said about your brother's performance?
I'm old school, man. So, like, well, I try to he has to be smart. You got to be smart as a quarterback. And for me, I used to lift with the offensive linemen. I used to want to run over everybody. I used to want to play the game physical just for the respect of my teammates. You know, that was it. And for Derek, he is so tapped in. Like, he's at another level as far as understanding where to go with football, how to find a completion instantly. And Gruden preaches it nonstop, like, completions, completions, completions. This guy just sent me – I mean, this is probably not – doesn't need to be public knowledge – but he completed 95% of his passes in team drills through training camp. 95%. And Peyton Manning, he used to talk about Peyton, would complete like 85%. And Gruden challenged him with that. And he sent me a text yesterday that said 95%. So the guy is like, he's going to find a completion, and John's going to preach that. And I wish that they would allow him to push the ball down the field a little bit more. And it's not really Derek. It's just John's scheme. You know, they're going to just find a way to get the ball in their playmakers' hands, and they're top 10. They're going to be top 10 this year. They're wildly efficient, but he's always had the ability to understand coverage, diagnose it, and take advantage and take chunks out of guys, you know, and opponents.
But when are you ripping him? When are you ripping him, David?
I don't really rip him because at this point, he plays fantastic football. I mean, he's not going to do these crazy dynamic things like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes just, you know, running backwards, throwing these crazy. He's going to be very clean. He thinks Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback of all time. He tries to emulate that guy. You know, he's going to run when he has to, but he understands that his mental ability to understand and break down coverage and throw the football accurately is more important. So I wish I could see a little bit more, like, just kind of loose dynamic play from him, because I know he's a great athlete. You know, that's just me as a brother kind of wanting to be able to do that, because he's a better athlete than me, and I wish I could use his ability. But he's going to play the way he plays, and he plays fine for John, and they play great. So it's hard to nitpick, man. He doesn't turn the football over. He doesn't make any negative plays. I mean, the only thing that I can say is I wish that we could push the ball down the field a little bit more, you know, but they do. It's just me.
Eli Manning was on a podcast with LeVar Arrington, and he was talking about how, you know, Jordan Love, is he the answer? And Eli said to LeVar Arrington, that's kind of me reading between the lines. If I think he was the answer, or if ownership thought he was the answer, Rodgers would be gone. Rodgers probably knows that he's not the answer also, so he could kind of play that hand a little bit. Quarterbacks know if a quarterback can play, right?
Yeah. And almost instantly.
Yeah. I have to believe Aaron Rodgers knew the Packers weren't comfortable turning over the keys to this, you know, NFC title team to Jordan Love. They just didn't know. Therefore, Rodgers had the ultimate bargaining power, and probably still does, though, David, because he's probably saying Jordan Love's not the answer without coming out and saying it. What do you think of what Eli is alluding to?
Well, you know, you can watch. My boys make fun of me all the time. I got 21, 18, 16. We watch football games, and I'll watch a guy for two plays and say, no, he's not it. A high school kid or college kid. I'm like, that's not it. Right? And they're like, no, come on, give him a chance. Like, he's a five-star recruit. He's going to go. I'm like, I don't think he's not it. Right? Maybe he will be, but not right now. Right? So it's exactly right. That's it. Aaron has all the power now. Jordan Love has been in my backyard, 100 feet from where I am right now, working out with me. I've known him forever. He's from this area, from Bakersfield, California. Went to Liberty High School. Known him since he was, little kid. And I love Jordan. But Jordan's not Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers knows that he's not Aaron Rodgers. And so I have all the pull, and I can run this thing. And is Jordan going to be a fine player someday? Can he be a starting quarterback? Absolutely. We've watched him play in the preseason. He even looks the part. He's kind of developed some of Aaron's mannerisms. I love quarterbacks that are in the same room, kind of watch each other. They kind of look the same. You know, and they all emulate the starting quarterback. And
but should another, team, should another team have taken Jordan Love?
Well, I mean, I don't think the Packers should have. And that's just crazy, because you're sitting on the cusp of going to a Super Bowl. You're right there on the doorstep, and your decision is another quarterback. I mean, it just makes zero sense to me, just zero sense. So, yeah, another team should have taken Jordan. When the Packers took Jordan, everyone here is excited. And I'm sitting there like, why would they do that? This is just going to be a disaster. Like, it's going to be, he's not going to play. Aaron's going to be upset. It's just going to be a bad situation. Go get another guy to help you win a Super Bowl. Try to get over the hump and beat the 49ers and get to the big game, you know? So, yeah, they shouldn't have taken him. They did, and that's where they're at. So it's their mess. They got to clean it up. Aaron's in the driver's seat. He goes out there, he's going to probably be pushing to be MVP again because their offense is great. You got Devontae Adams. They're going to run the ball well. Matt LaFleur is a genius, and they'll be fine. You know, the defense will play a little bit better. But that's the situation they made. You know, now you got to live with it.
Which quarterback would you want this year, Justin Herbert or Matthew Stafford?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I get nervous about the Chargers, not just because I don't say this just because they're in the AFC West and I want them to be terrible and let my Raiders win. But I get nervous about them just because of Joe Lombardi. And I'm not saying that he's a bad coordinator, but he had a chance in Detroit and wasn't great. He went back to New Orleans. And Sean Payton's brilliant in New Orleans, but let's not give everybody credit that comes from New Orleans that they're going to be great. So I'm a little hesitant there, but he's a tremendous talent. I don't know, man. I'm a big fan of Matt Stafford. I always have been. I always put him in my top 10 list. Everybody always gives me crap for it. Just because he plays for Detroit. I mean, the guy's tough. He wants to play in big games. He's got all the ability to do it. I love him with the Rams. I mean, they're going to be right there, man. They're going to be in the championship game. You can almost pencil them in for that. You know, just you look at talent on the defensive side, what they have on offense. I'm not saying that you don't want to take away anything away from Jared Goff. That's the other thing that I mean, Jared Goff got you to the Super Bowl. He played good football. He's one of the better intermediate passers in the league. The thing that they needed to do internally, they looked at when they got in trouble, when his system runs into a trouble, Sean McVay, it's when you get extra pressure and you're not able to beat it with some smoke and mirrors, with these jet sweeps, with just getting the ball out quick to Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, with not being able to beat it with play action. When you have to stand in the pocket, make reads and decisions, and you have extra defenders coming at you, and you have to be accurate, quick, throw from different angles, and beat that pressure with great quarterback play from the pocket. That was where Jared struggled, and they solved that big time, because Matt Stafford is one of the best I've ever been around at doing that exact thing. And they pinpointed that. They said, we need that. I don't care if we've been to the Super Bowl. We're going to make our team better. And the Rams, to their credit, they've always made those moves. You know, go get Jalen Ramsey when we're struggling in the secondary. Go, you know, do what you got to do to get a player that's going to take you to the next level. And I think they've done that with Matt. It's just a matter of, can they kind of bring it all together, still be that same consistent offense. But when they come down to it and they got to throw the ball and they're in the pocket, he's one of the best in the league now. And so you're not working at a disadvantage in that situation anymore. He's going to excel.
Great to talk to you as always, David. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to catch up with you during the season.
You too, buddy. Good talking to you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow,
you know what
I mean? I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or I don't know. Take over a minute to down a 2-liter. Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Chris Collinsworth was part of the NBC team broadcasting last night. And he said something that was really interesting about the former UCLA star, Josh Rosen, and being one of the more disappointing first-round quarterbacks in recent draft history. He was taken 10th overall in the 2018 NFL draft. He has thrown for under 3,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 19 interceptions over the course of his career. He was signed earlier this month by the Falcons, after Atlanta lost A.J. McCarron to the season. And Sunday night, Rosen had some preseason action against the Browns, and Chris Collinsworth had a brutally honest comment on the quarterback.
Well, you don't get taken with the 10th overall pick unless you have some talent. And I think that one good thing about Josh Rosen is he's sort of taken on some of his issues. One of his issues is not being smart.
Okay. As a quarterback, I don't know what he's saying. You know, does he process the information once he gets to the line of scrimmage? Does he put in the time behind the scenes? It almost felt like when he was at UCLA, he was too smart for his own good. But by all accounts, there are a lot of people, myself included, who thought he looks like he's an NFL quarterback. But you quickly realized that he was not. And it's not all based off, you know, when you go into the league and you start early and you're on a, you know, suspect team, and I thought that he had one of the worst offensive lines, you get into bad habits. If Josh Rosen had gone to a team that was better, with a better offensive line, would he have a different career? Probably so. Because Arizona didn't wait. They're like, we're bad. What did we think of Josh Rosen? Not sure. And the Arizona Cardinals take Kyler Murray. That's it. That's how long it takes. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa is in that situation right now because no matter what the Dolphins say, he's not their quarterback of the future. No matter what the Eagles say with Jalen Hurts, I don't believe they truly think he's the quarterback of the future. And that's why the Dolphins have always been in the conversation for Deshaun Watson. Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach, didn't exactly answer the question about, are the Dolphins interested in Deshaun Watson?
I mean, I would say I'm interested in the players that are on our team. You know, that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in, Reed Sinnett, who went out there and played, you know, his butt off tonight. I'm interested in Jared Dokes, who we talked about, a second ago. I'm interested in the guys who that didn't play today, that, you know, we're focused on our recovery and being fresh for next week. That's what I would say. I mean, I'm interested in the players on the Miami Dolphins.
Not exactly clearing it up there, but I understand what he's saying. I mean, he used to work with Belichick. And he's a podium thumper, too, which drives me crazy. Are they interested? I don't even think you can talk about another player on another team. Now, Brian Flores probably avoids being fined in a situation like this. But you have to ask the question because the Dolphins, this story doesn't go away. And now we know what the Texans will take in return for Deshaun Watson, according to Yahoo Sports. It's there. Hadn't gone away. No matter what Philadelphia does, no matter what Miami does, no matter what Carolina does, the story is still there. That this is, if you want Deshaun Watson, this is what it's going to take. And those three teams continually come up. Here is Bill Belichick ask about his quarterbacking situation.
Do you have to announce who your starting quarterback is to the world? And is there an advantage in your preparation if your opponent doesn't know?
Yeah, again, I would just say, Tom, that what we're going to do is what we feel is best for our football team, and that's what it'll be.
Yeah, and would it be best for the team to keep that under wraps?
or would it be best for the team to know what the situation is at certain positions?
Yep.
Yep. Excuse me? There was one?
Excuse me? I have no idea what you're talking about. Tom Curran was, you know, hanging in there with Belichick. Yes, Eden.
It's classic Tom Curran moment right there. Yep.
Here is Mac Jones, who's auditioning to become our next Jimmy Jimerson, the Patriots quarterback, on if he could be the starter in New England.
Do you think you've played well enough to be the starter?
What'd you say?
Do you think you've played well enough to be the starter?
I mean, I've gotten a lot of opportunities to play, and I can improve on everything that I want to improve on. So I think just learning from Hoyer, Cam, Jarrett, anybody I can, and just listening to Josh and his coaching, there's a lot of work to do, but I think I've made progress. But honestly, it's just the only thing that matters is today. And then tomorrow, I'll focus on tomorrow. But I think the past is the past, and we're kind of moving on to the new season here.
Past is the past. I'm here to talk about today, and then I'll be here to talk about tomorrow.
Red Wright 32.
On two. Ready? Break. Now, whenever I hear somebody talk, especially if it's an NFL insider, I always think of Jimmy Jimerson. That he doesn't say anything, but he takes a long time to not say anything. And it's quite an act for our NFL insider, Jimmy Jimerson. For example, if I say to Jimmy Jimerson, hey, would you start Justin Fields in Chicago? Jimmy, what are you finding out?
Well, right now, Matt Nagy and his staff are going back through the preseason, looking, seeing who had the most reps, who had the most quality reps, actually. And right now it's coming down between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. They're a very high draft pick. Obviously, Andy Dalton was the man before they drafted Fields. But now, since Fields has joined the roster, there's a little bit more of a battle going on, I think, for that week one start.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's Jimmy.
Back to you.
That's our insider, Jimmy Jimerson. Thank you, Jimmy.
Dalton was the starter before they drafted Fields.
Yes, he was.
But now that Fields is there, now there's a true quarterback battle.
And once again, Jimmy Jimerson is not based off of one particular person. A handful, but I had another NFL employee. I don't want to say if he's an analyst or an insider, but he wanted to know if this was an inside joke and it was based upon him. And I said no, but if you hear some things and you can add to Jimmy Jimerson's resume, then we would love that.
To a man.
Yeah, to a man.
I might have hit a little close to home for some people.
Yes, Todd.
And what does that say about that insecure analyst or insider that thinks that may be about that person and what they deliver every day, if they think it might be about them?
That just makes it even better. Paulie, I didn't get to your best and worst of the weekend.
Oh, you really missed out,
Dan.
Because get to know this name. Archer Sitkowski, the Illinois quarterback. Big weekend for Archer. 124 yards and two touchdowns. I figure I got to get some Illini football in. I think we're good for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But UCLA had a good weekend, 44-10 over the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. The running back for UCLA, Zach Charbonnet. Cool name. Six carries, 106 yards, and three touchdowns. He averaged 17.7 yards a carry. Probably won't keep that up for the season.
Thank you.
Back to you.
Barry in Long Island, best and worst of the weekend. Hey, Barry.
Good morning, fellas. As a Mets fan for over 50 years, there hasn't been a best of the weekend since 1986. Obviously, the worst of the weekend, that Schmendrick, Javi Baez, basically giving us the finger. You know, this is not St. Louis, where you fail game after game after game after game, and the fans sing Kumbaya and bring you milk and cookies after the game. I think I'm going to go tomorrow just to boo.
No.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
All right. Boy. Thank you, Barry. Yes, Paul.
But for a Mets fan to goof on St. Louis Cardinals fans for not criticizing their players when they lose game after game after game, is flawed, because the St. Louis Cardinals don't lose game after game after game. They're always competitive. They're always in the playoff hunt.
So Javi Baez has had enough of New York Mets fans booing him, and he decided to take matters into his own hands, literally. Because since he came to the Mets at the trade deadline, He's batting 207, three homers in five RBI, 16 games. Fans have been booing him. He's been struggling and came over from Chicago. And they don't boo in Chicago. They're either, you know, drinking or, you know, what else are they doing there?
Ordering the next beer.
Oh, that's right. Now, he won there. He's a very good player there. And it's different. But you come to the Mets, and the Mets are just, they're waiting for something positive to happen. I mean, keep in mind, the Mets have a 9-20 record since the trade deadline. They have dropped out of first place, and they're out of the playoff picture as well. Well, Javi Baez had a gesture to the fans, and he was basically giving a thumbs down to the fans after hitting a home run. And here's what Javi Baez had to say about that gesture after the game.
It just feels bad when I strike out and I get booed. You know, it doesn't really get to me, but like I want to let them know that when we success, we're gonna do the same thing to let them know how it feels, you know, because if we win together, then we gotta lose together, you know, and the fans are really a big part of it, so they gotta be better, you know. I play for the fans and I love the fans, but you know, if they're gonna do that, they're just putting more pressure on the team, and that's not what we want.
So is that a thumbs down to fans then?
Yeah. I mean, to let them know that when we don't get success, we're gonna get booed. So they're gonna get booed when we success.
Okay. Does he have a point in any of this? Would a more supportive fan base be better? I never understood when fans boo. Like, I know you paid the price to come into the game. You're paying part of their salaries, or at least you're going to feel that way. Does booing your player, your team, help? Does it help the player and the team? Now, it might help you because you're angry, and this is your team, and you want to win, and you're tired of seeing this movie every single year. It ends the same way. Hopes die. If I'm going to boo... my team, if I'm a fan, I'm going to boo if you don't give me effort. If you don't run out a ground ball, if you pose after what you think is a home run and you end up, you know, getting thrown out at second base, then I have a problem with that. But can you imagine another sport? Think of another sport where we look at a player and we know he's not giving 100%. He's not giving full effort. When's the last time you did that in football? Guys take plays off in football all the time. Nobody is booing. Basketball. Do you really notice when somebody's going to take a night off? Now, you might say, well, LeBron's not playing defense. Okay. But when you're in baseball and you're at the plate, you're all alone. It's just you. Like, you're the opera singer. The spotlight's on you. It's just you. You want to boo the opposition? Okay. But to boo your own player, how does that help him? And I know if you're Javi Baez, just play better. That's all. What came first, the boos or your poor performance? If he was playing well, then nobody's booing you. The fans expect, there's part of you that has to understand the New York fan base. The Knicks fans still go. They're embarrassing. That team, that product has been embarrassing. They still go. They still want it so badly. The Mets, it's been a long time. The Jets, been a long time. It means so much that's their passion. Booing, I never understood it. Didn't think it helped the player. It's not like the player goes, yeah, I just struck out. Oh, they're booing me. I'm going to try even harder when I get up there. What are you going to do? Swing harder? It doesn't help. But if you're a fan, and fans think that the players can hear them. Seton was at an All-Star game. Was that Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
And you were at not the top row, but second to the last row?
I was second to the last row. Yeah, it was like a contest we did, and I brought a like listener of the show to the All-Star game, and we were in the second to last row. And the guy who was sitting right behind us in the last row during batting practice was yelling, "Pujols! Pujols, you're a bum! You're a bum!" And he did that for about 3 hours straight. Yeah. "Pujols, you're a bum!" There's no way Albert Pujols was hearing this dude that far up.
But sometimes you get the guy who's in your section who thinks it's live at the Improv, and you know he's going to have some funny lines here. Yes, Todd.
Yeah, he's humoring himself, and if he gets the slightest chuckle from, believe me, I know, I'll grab a slight chuckle over total silence anytime. They think that they're performing, and they must know in the back of their mind there's no way they can hear. But then you have the Baezes of the world who react to the fans, and now maybe some people do hear the fans. Some of the players do, because there are examples where the outfielder turns around and smiles or waves or whatever. So that just feeds the whole, I bet you if I scream loud enough, they can hear me, and they're going to turn around and say something.
Thank you, Todd. Yes, Paulie.
And it's always funny that the guy who gets called a bum or you suck is usually the best player on earth. Like Albert Pujols, when we were there that night, he's not a bum. You know, like if you're in the crowd that night, he's the least bum. He's hitting like 378. You're a bum.
Let's take a break. More phone calls coming up. And if you have thoughts on this, and, you know, as a fan, if you think, yeah, we should be able to boo. I mean, you can boo. It just does that really help your team? And I've seen both situations. I mean, I have been there in St. Louis when they don't boo. But then you have other situations, certainly in New York or Philadelphia, they do.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.